You may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mallory Stoll, attorney for LML, the appellant in this matter. May it please the court and opposing counsel. LML is before the court this afternoon seeking a reversal of the district court's order terminating her parental rights to her two children. The first termination petition, filed by Anoka County Social Services, was denied following a five-day trial. Just 5 months later, following that denial, the county brought a second TPR petition, this time before a different district court judge based upon the retirement of the first judge. Despite LML's progress on her case plan and the circumstances that were present at the time of trial, which was acknowledged by witnesses at that trial, the district court nevertheless determined that Anoka County Social Services proved all grounds for termination, that reasonable efforts were made, and that termination was in the best interest of the children. Ultimately, the district court erred in this case because it failed to consider the circumstances as of the time of trial, as is required by case law that is well established. Additionally, the district court erred in its determination that the grounds were proven by clear and convincing evidence because it failed to make the requisite findings that the conduct which the district court focused on directly impacted the children's safety and well-being. LML requests that this court reverse the district court's order terminating her parental rights and remand with instructions that the district court deny the TPR petition. Further, pursuant to Rule 58.04C1, the instructions may also include a determination that the children remain CHIPS at this time. I plan to focus my comments today on the grounds for termination, but of course I am prepared to answer questions regarding any of the issues that are raised in the brief. In this case, there were four grounds alleged for terminating LML's parental rights. I understand that in order for this court to reverse, the court would need to make a determination that none of the four grounds were proven by clear and convincing evidence. In this case, the first error that directly impacted all of the grounds that the district court found were proven by clear and convincing evidence is the court's substantial reliance on past concerns in support of its decision and failure to properly consider and evaluate what those present circumstances were as of the date of trial.
The present circumstances included continued testing positive for meth, is that right?
Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree that as of the time of trial that was the case. Based on my review and interpretation of the case law, certainly there were positive UAs. I'm not here to dispute that, but we don't expect perfection in order to find substantial compliance with the case plan. And so while there were positive UAs between the denial of the first TPR petition and the time that the second TPR trial commenced, the last positive results were months old by that time. And that is the error that the court made.
Were there positives?
I can grab that, Your Honor, just one moment. Your Honor, if you look at the district court's order at page 21, findings of fact 123, that sets forth the positive UAs. Based on this record, there were six positive UAs from June 15th until the time of trial, so approximately 6 months. I will note that the last positive UA for methamphetamine was September 29th, 2021, and the last positive UA in general was November 18th, 2021. Respectfully, those would have been about 5 to 3 months before the trial in this matter. And so getting to the SZ case, which
And how many negative test results during that period of time? Do you happen to know?
Unfortunately, Your Honor, based on my recollection of the review of the order at this time, I do not know. I think that's a really good question, though. When we look at the district court's order, it's focused on the things that LML did wrong, but we need to look at the circumstances as a whole. Certainly, if the district court is going to focus or pinpoint incidents or imperfections That happened from June 2021 until the time of trial. Of course, there are going to be things that were not perfectly executed. I don't think any parent has ever perfectly executed a case plan as long as we've had child protection cases. But again, it's about looking at what were the circumstances as of the time of trial, which the SZ case requires.
The trial court seemed to also focus on her relationship with men, and particularly ER. Record, what can you tell me about what the record reflects in terms of how long that continued?
Absolutely, Your Honor. So with regard to EMR, who is the father of the two children, the record reflects a couple of important improvements that were related to her case plan, which supports substantial compliance. With regard to EMR, the findings that the district court made to conclude ultimately there was not compliance with the case plan was based on, I believe it was in June of 2021 when LML went with EMR to the church that the children attended in June to see the kids. But most importantly, LML did obtain a protective order from against EMR, I should say, in October of 2021. And ever since that order was put in place, nowhere in the record do I see, and as is contained in appellant's brief and reply brief, was there any contact after that? I think what is also perhaps unique, at least in my perspective, is while certainly, again, there was not perfection, there was substantial improvements with addressing that large concern that the district court had, or I should say social services had. We have this order based on the 2022 trial, but I think if you look at Judge Sullivan's order from the first TPR trial, you know, ultimately, his findings, his conclusions are on point with what the law requires him to look at. I mean, his first sentence acknowledges exactly what we have here for LML. She is a survivor of domestic abuse. She is a survivor of domestic violence. And when we look at the circumstances that were in place when the CHIPS case first started and preceding that first TPR trial, my recollection of the record is that there were concerning incidents that the children did witness. But when we look at the time that the first TPR trial ultimately resulted in a denial of the petition to the second, there's no new instances that connects that history of domestic violence and domestic abuse to the current and ongoing safety of the children. And that is an error that the district court made.
But as you noted, we only have to find substantiation for one ground. And when we look at what the trial court considered at the time of trial, I think what came to my mind was, I mean, there were a lot of concerns about the parenting ability, and especially based on, as I understand it, Ms. Haugen's testimony. And when the district court said that, you know, Ms. Haugen worked with her on parenting with your client from June 2021 to, and her last visit was February 9th, 2022. That's a week before trial. And that, I mean, and her testimony is pretty extensive. Why doesn't that give us, especially when it comes to the, you know, ability to parent, you know, enough information for the district court judge to make it as of the time of trial?
Thank you, Judge Jessen. I anticipated I was going to be asked about Ms. Haugen's testimony. I do have some pinpoint sites, not only to the trial transcript, but to the court order I will reference to answer your question. You are correct, Judge Jessen. Ms. Haugen did work with LML up to the date of trial. But if you closely look at the court's findings, namely contained in the findings of fact, paragraphs 28 to 46, 60 to 77, as well as finding 227, this is what I think is important for the court to be mindful of that, again, ultimately is an error and requires reversal. When we look at the concerns, and I believe that was the district court's word, with LML's ability to parent, we need to start with remembering, as the record very clearly demonstrates, this is LML's first time she is independently parenting as a single parent, and Ms. Haugen's services and supports were meant to assist with that. Ms. Haugen testified with regard to the parenting skills and abilities that she had the following concerns. She had concerns with setting limits, Ms. LML did, taking care of herself while parenting, having a schedule slash routine, and role modeling. We need to keep in mind, while certainly some parents and some professionals might not find that to be ideal, that's not the legal standard here. The legal standard is that there is a presumption that parents are fit and proper custodians of their children and their rights should be retained. When we look at those specific examples that Ms. Haugen gave, furthermore, the district court largely credited pinpointed sporadic incidents that had occurred months before, predominantly, if not exclusively, from June, July, and it may have been into the beginning of August before visits returned to supervised. That was when some of these sporadic incidents occurred. But what we need to look at, and is borne out in the district court's order, is what Ms. Haugen said regarding where she was currently. Again, LML was not perfect as of the time of trial, but she was not required to be.
You said earlier that this was the first time that she was expected to act as a sole parent. One child is 9 and one is 5. So for 9 years, she wasn't acting as a sole parent for one and up to 5 for the other.
Your Honor, how I read the district court's order and the determinations on that is that she had the other parent there as well. So she was a parent. It's not a question of was she parenting or not.
ER was in prison for part of that time, wasn't he?
You know what, Your Honor? I believe it was during the Chips case, after the children were removed, if memory serves me right, that EMR was in prison. I will admit I don't recall from memory what his incarceration history may have been before the Chips trial or petition, so I don't want to speak to that.
And my recollection of the record reflects that we've had this domestic relations problem going on for some time, and it wasn't until 2021 that she goes out to get a restraining order.
That is what the record reflects with regard to when she went out on her own without the assistance of Anoka County Social Services to obtain two protective orders, one against the father of the children and one against, I will call him a former partner. I don't recall the specific characterizations. That's not the only thing that LML did, though, to address the concerns that were raised by Anoka County Social Services with regard to that, though. So I guess that would be my answer, Judge Klapacki. I do want to turn back, Judge Jessen, to what, again, Ms. Haugen did testify to based on what had happened on those areas of concern as of the date of trial. First, as is reflected in finding of fact 38, LML made progress during visits with setting a routine and schedule. That was one of the concerns that was set forth. When we look at LML recognizing what needs improvement? Finding of fact 41, LML recognized areas of parenting that needed to be improved. With regard to the other, let me get my other sheet here. I think I have it over here. When it comes to I already did the routine. When it comes to role modeling, I do recall that Ms. Haugen's testimony and the information in the court record, again, does focus on a concern about inconsistency. But if you look particularly at the cross-examination, which was on day 2 of trial, there is an acknowledgement that improvements had been made. And when we look at that compared against the legal standard, which is inability to parent for the reasonably foreseeable future, I don't think that meets the clear and convincing evidence standard of proof. I do see my time is quickly expiring here.
It's a long time to wait, though, 9 years to be able to become a parent. A few more years, a 9-year-old will be out of the home.
Judge, I'm sorry.
It just strikes me as half the lifetime of this child being in the home, this parent wasn't there.
I don't think that's what the record reflects, Judge Klapacki.
Sure. up and down, but that's the problem. It's up and down.
Judge Johnson, may I answer his question?
Yeah, thank you. Please take the time you need to give a full answer.
Judge Klapacki, I do disagree that the record reflects that LML was not parenting the oldest child. Again, it has to do with whether she was doing it independently. And yes, you are correct. Since I believe it's August 2019, the children have not been in LML's custody. But what happened during that time? We had an initial CHIPS petition. We went to a TPR that was denied. That's a large part of this case. There's then less than 5 months given, and then there's another TPR petition that's filed. Again, the standard in this case and any case when we're looking at termination is not are parents perfect. It's are they making progress, and is that progress related to the concerns that led to the out-of-home placement? So I will simply wrap up this portion of my argument by saying, when you look at the specific areas of concern, domestic violence, substance use, and parenting skills, and look at what the court found with regard to circumstances as of the time of trial, the county failed to meet its burden of proof that there was clear and convincing evidence as of the time of trial. And that is the sum and substance of, I would say, the primary concern and issue with this district court's order. I will return for rebuttal.
Ms. Stoll, I've been meaning to ask, and I'm sorry to wait so long. I guess, so you were talking earlier about, there was about 8 or 9 months between the trials, I think, maybe 10, I don't know, but almost a year, I think. But, I mean, can you summarize for us the evidence that was introduced at the second trial that shows improvement during that interval, and I guess specifically maybe the evidence that wasn't mentioned by the district court in the district court's order?
Yes, Your Honor. I know
I know it's a large question, but I guess maybe if you can give us a sense of it in a summary fashion, we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Looking between the two, TPR1 and TPR2, progress in parenting skills. Ms. Haugen was newly introduced following the denial of the first TPR petition. Again, Ms. Haugen, I recognize, testified that she wasn't, at the time of trial, she did still see areas of improvement, but she did concede there was progress on those areas. LML obtained protective orders against two of her abusers, EMR and Mr. Mueller, and again, the evidence that was presented to the trial does not bear out that there was contact with those people after those orders were issued. Next, LML restored her medical marijuana prescription. There was a period of time in which LML did not have a valid prescription and was testing for THC positive, but she did end up getting that restored. Next, LML attended sober support meetings, I believe beginning her attendance improved, beginning in December of 2021. I do recall the district court also made a finding of fact that LML testified leading up to trial, she attended more meetings because she was stressed.
Because she was what?
Because she was stressed about trial. She needed the additional support. That's another one. And with regard to the substance use and the positive UAs, Judge Johnson, I might find more, but these are the ones that are coming to mind. I will say this. LML did have positive UAs in the months leading up to the first TPR trial and in the months leading up to the second TPR trial. But what I think is significant to point out, as Judge Sullivan noted in the first TPR trial, the use was sporadic and it was related to, or there's a connection, let's say, between the men that abused LML and that use. And so it wasn't perfection, but she did have several months of demonstrated sobriety.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, you may introduce yourself and your client and begin your argument.
Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. Catherine Tim from the Anoka County Attorney's Office, representing Anoka County Social Services. And can you all hear me okay? I noted in the last argument that Judge Klapacki has made a comment. I just want to make sure I've got this adjusted correctly. Okay, thanks. I want to start out by correcting one thing from my brief, and it was as a result of an error I made in reading, and I apologize. I have not had the opportunity to apologize to counsel. In my brief, I indicated that LML had continued contact with Mr. Mueller after obtaining a harassment restraining order against him. I misread the date. She did have contact with him in the month of January 2022. She obtained that restraining order in January 2022, and I misread the date. I apologize. She actually obtained that order on January 26th. That is what is reflected in Exhibit 105. I misread it as January 2nd. I apologize. However, the point that I was making in my brief was that it was a continuing issue, and there had been prior orders that she not have contact with Mr. Mueller from the juvenile court. That was part of the case plan, that she not have contact with him, and she did have contact with him during that whole period of time up until January. And he also...
2 months before the hearing?
The trial started, her allegations in obtaining that HRO on January 26th included an incident from January 4th and some other incidents during that month where she may or may not have initiated the contact. The January 4th incident, she initiated the contact. She asked him to take her to...
So it would have been less than a month before the hearing. Hearing started February 15?
Right. She obtained the order on January 26th, so it would have been 21 days. The concern actually is even greater in that, and it goes into the progress that LML was making on the case plan, that she was not to be having contact with Mr. Mueller because of incidents of domestic violence. And those were things that, to the end of opposing counsel's argument, were of concern to Ms. Haugen when she had her testimony, that at various points, LML appeared to be able to set those limits, not having contact with EMR, not having contact with Mr. Mueller. But she wasn't able to continue with that, and when she had needs that needed to be met, she would turn to Mr. Mueller, for instance, to help her fix her car, give her rides to pick up medications, give her rides to treatment, all of those things. And that included incidents that were in January of 2022, right up before the eve of trial.
Ms. Tim, if I can ask you, I noted the district judge stated that Ms. Haugen opined that the children would be endangered in appellant's care. And then the district court said, I think one of its conclusions said that Ms. Lang was unable to demonstrate she could parent to keep the children safe.
Yes.
Are there other safety issues in addition to the ones you just raised involving Mr. Mueller? I mean, there was just a lot of the record in this case, and I I mean, those were the things, because we can talk about, we're not requiring parents to be perfect or always to be on time or even always to have, you know, perfect UAs. Safe endangerment's another thing.
I'm trying to remember from the record. I know that there was an incident in, I believe it was August, in which Mr. Mueller was present at the home. There was concern, but I don't believe that it was proven that Mr. Mueller had stayed overnight at the home. That was during a time period where, in an effort to ramp up to a trial visit for the children to go home after Judge Sullivan's order, the children were having overnights. It was the report from the elder child, RR, that Mueller had been in the home. I don't think that it was actually proven that he was there overnight. That was about the same period of time, however, where there was an instance of LML having bruises, or I think it was characterized as a rug burn, and that was observed by Sue Haugen, that LML reported that she had gotten into some kind of an altercation with Mr. Mueller, and he had done that. There was not evidence that the children observed that.
So when the first termination proceeding was denied or dismissed, what was the status of all these folks?
The status at that time was, in Judge Sullivan's order, was that there would be a trial visit, which was supposed to begin.
So the proceeding continued on, and the county had, and the children were in foster care?
Yes. And the children.
And the case plan continued?
And the case plan was continued. And Judge Sullivan ordered that a trial visit was to commence on July 11th, I believe. His order came out about a month before that, if I recall, in mid-June. And social services and the guardian ad litem had meetings with LML to facilitate that. They started overnight visits. LML specifically requested that the trial visit not start on July 11th. She didn't have daycare provided. She didn't have a number of things that she would have needed at that point. And social services began assisting her to make those arrangements. They put Sue Haugen in place to give her parenting support and education. And she never progressed. She had several overnights over a course of a couple of weeks and then began testing positive for methamphetamine.
So, and the case plan that was in existence up until the final termination hearing included no drugs.
Yes.
No contact with the people who've been prior involved in domestic abuse.
Yes.
And some of that continued as well into January, at least. Is that right?
Yes.
Which is 21 days or in before the hearing started.
Yes. There was, in addition to the...
And this conduct was similar to what had occurred earlier in these proceedings.
Yes.
So up to 21 days before the hearing, some ups and downs, but no clear picture that these items were being corrected. Is that fair?
That would be correct. I would point to, as to the question that was asked, and I'm sorry, I don't recall which of you asked it, as to Sue Haugen's opinions. And it would be on pages 40 through 43 of I believe it's the last day of trial. When Ms. Haug, or I'm sorry, it would be the second day of trial. I apologize. I wish that the transcript numbering, page numbering had been continuous rather than by trial date. Ms. Haugen gave her expert opinion that, quite simply, LML is not capable of parenting full time. She can do short periods of time. She can do an hour and a half. Maybe doesn't even need to be supervised closely during that whole period of time, but she does not have the ability at 38 years old to manage her own life. And she simply does not have the ability to be responsible for two small children. At the time of trial, RR was still 8 years old, and HR was still 4 years old. HR had been in foster care over half of her life. These children, frankly, have been in foster care longer than the Kennedy administration, longer than the Ford administration. These children are not bonded primarily to LML. They are bonded primarily to their foster parents. That's who they regard as mom and dad. And LML for a time appeared in the testimony of Sue Haugen. She believed that in November and December of 2021, LML was looking at that and looking at what the children's best interests were and observed that the children were better off in their foster home. At some point, however, then that changed, and she began focusing on her own interests, not putting her children first. That is the final thing we have here, that what is in these children's best interests, and what is that children's best interest at the time of trial? At the time of trial.
Four grounds that the trial court found here. Do you have a view as to which you think is the strongest in terms of affirmance?
I think they're all pretty strong, frankly. But ultimately, I think the final issue is this mother a fit parent? And she's just not. She is palpably unfit. And it's something to look at in terms of her age. Her ability over time has not changed. It's not gotten better to a demonstrable, sustainable state. She continues to be engaged with men who abuse her because that's how she can get something out of it. That's how she can get rides. That's how she can get financial support. That's how she has someone else to rely on to parent. Her own testimony was that she believed, or I apologize, her conversations with Sue Haugen were that she believed that her children would be in school. So she really was only going to be responsible for the evening hours. She was really only going to be responsible for getting them to school, that they would be in school, they would be in daycare, and that her responsibilities were not to be a full-time parent. She just doesn't get it. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's unfortunate, but that is why all of the efforts that were made by social services failed. And I see I have 20 seconds left, so I'm going to concede it unless there's a question.
It appears there's not.
Thank you.
Thank you for your argument, Ms. Tim. Ms. Stoll, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Can I, while you're getting ready, did your client present to the trial court a plan that she had in mind as to how she would handle these children and what she would do?
Your Honor, I was not the trial counsel. I was only appointed for the appeal. I do not recall seeing that specifically in the record. Could that have been helpful at trial? Sure, but again, the focus isn't just on as soon as the trial is over, is she ready to immediately assume full-time parenting responsibilities?
Whether she had a plan, not whether she was immediately ready to do it, but whether she had a plan.
Your Honor, I think the months leading up to the second TPR trial, she was in process of executing that plan.
That's not my question. My question is, when did she testify at the time of trial in February that she had a plan and detailed what it was?
Your Honor, I can't recall from her testimony if that question was explicitly asked, but I do think there is evidence in the record of what she was doing to demonstrate her ability to parent her children. I think that is borne out by the improvements that were seen in her parenting skills, obtaining public assistance so she could provide for the children's basic needs. That was, by the way, Judge Johnson, another improvement that was recognized as of the time of the second TPR trial in the district court's order. She also was recognized looking at those other improvements that she made between the two TPR trials. She was engaged in DBT programming. The district court found at paragraph 190, she had decreased anxiety, depression, and anger, and took on more of a leadership role. The next finding, paragraph 191, through individual therapy, LML was less reactive and less frustrated with other people's actions, and she copes for herself. Those are just some of the other examples that are borne out in the record. I did want to note, turning back to Sue Haugen's testimony, I could not find it in my notes initially. I had gone through the four areas that Ms. Haugen testified LML had struggled with. And I want to point the court to citations in the transcript specifically for these. While the routine and structure remained a work in progress, there was improvement, and that's page 247. Her setting of limits had improved, which Ms. Haugen testified to at page 249. And there was also an improvement with balancing time with the children during visits. We had the eldest child that had schoolwork while the youngest child was engaged in play. Ms. Haugen also acknowledged that LML was better at providing for basic needs for the children. That's page 13. The routine was consistent enough. That is a quote from page 27. Those are the improvements that Ms. Haugen acknowledged were present as of the time of trial.
She also testified, at least according to the district court, that the children would be endangered to be in your client's care. You know the record much better than I do. What did that endangerment refer to? How present was that?
Judge,
you can have structure in a supervised visit, but if you're endangering the children, that's more problematic.
Your Honor, I have the same question, meaning, what was she basing that on? My recollection from the record, and I think it was day two of the transcript, is there was a leading yes or no question asked, and she just said no. I don't think that her testimony bears out why she found endangerment. I think, again, there were a couple of incidents that occurred months before trial when she was having unsupervised visits before they went to supervised, an incident with some Lexapro pills and leaving an antibiotic out, I think it was. But those were months old, and I just want to focus, kind of rein back in with all of this. A lot of what we've talked about today is on LML's ability to parent these children. She had unsupervised visits. Based on my recollection of the record, it went to supervised because she tested positive for illegal substances. There wasn't a safety concern that was noted during a visit. It was simply that she tested positive, it wasn't in her case plan, and she was punished accordingly. She asked repeatedly to have unsupervised visits. Ms. Haugen acknowledged she felt comfortable taking a step back. How can we say that for the reasonably foreseeable future, LML can't parent these children if she wasn't given the meaningful opportunity to do so? Judge Johnson, may I just conclude with my final remark?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Your Honors, as I said, I do understand that the four grounds for termination would all need to be reversed by this court, but I think if we look at the present circumstances, as well as whether there was clear and convincing evidence of a causal connection, the district court's determinations on each and every one of those grounds ultimately fail. I also just want to finally state, I do recognize these children have been in out-of-home placement for a substantial amount of time, but that's not determinative. We can't just affirm a termination based on best interests. We can't just affirm a termination based on reasonable efforts. We need to, in order to affirm a termination, all three need to be met. And the grounds in the petition specifically is what is should be most concerning to this court. Again, LML respectfully requests that this court reverse with the understanding the children are not going to be immediately returned. There will continue to be a case plan. There will continue to be review hearings and progress to determine that the children are not returned to LML's custody until it is safe and appropriate. I have nothing additional. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stoll. Thank you to both lawyers for your excellent arguments. The case is submitted, and the court will issue its written opinion within 45 days. That is the final case on today's oral argument calendar, so now the court is adjourned.